I want you to picture yourself sitting in a prayer group, maybe a small group, and people are sharing prayer requests. What are they sharing? Well, in most cases, they're saying things like, well, Aunt Susie is going to have surgery tomorrow. I hope that you will pray for her. Or our next door neighbor has a bad back and he's going to be out of work for a week, and will you pray for him? I have found in my experience in prayer groups that when it comes to people, the bulk of our requests have to do with physical needs, physical problems. And if we personally have any physical needs, you can be certain that they are at the top of our prayer list. I mean, at least in our own personal prayer, we're going to be praying about those personal needs probably before anything else. Personal, physical, and material needs. How about when it comes to our church? What are the things we pray for when we're talking about the needs of our church? Well, finances are low this month. You know, let's pray that the giving increases. The attendance at the couples class is dropping off. Let's pray that people will come so that we can have bigger attendance. The kids are leaving for camp next week. Let's pray that they'll have safety on the road. Again, the majority of our requests, the majority, now there are other things, I grant you, but the majority of our requests are about physical and material things. How about our missionaries? What do we pray about our missionaries? Well, let's see, the Dieseldorfs, they're getting low in their support. We better pray that God brings in their support money. And the Heffenbargers, they need a new car. You know, that old Studebaker there is on its last legs, and they need to get a replacement. So let's pray for a new vehicle for them. And again, our requests are primarily about physical and material needs. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying about these things. I mean, they're all important matters, and I am not degrading them in any way. We need to be holding each other up before the throne of grace and praying for these bona fide material and physical needs. The Lord Jesus invites us to pray about those things. In that model prayer in Matthew 6, we call the Lord's Prayer. One of those requests said, "Give us this day our daily bread." That was a physical need, daily bread. You're welcome to pray about those things. The Lord Jesus invites us to come into his presence and make those needs known to him. But you know, it is interesting that in that model prayer, only one out of six requests has anything to do with material needs. Only one out of six. The rest of the requests all have to do with spiritual matters. Now, the same thing is true when you study the prayers of the Apostle Paul that are recorded in his letters. Well, there are some physical things that he mentions. But basically, I mean, virtually every request in every prayer, I mean, for the most part, virtually every request in every prayer has to do with spiritual needs. There isn't anything wrong with petitioning God for physical things, but I wonder if we haven't misplaced our priorities just a little bit. And maybe we're missing out on some good things that God wants to do for us because our prayers are a little bit misplaced in their priorities. And we're not putting proper emphasis on proper things as the Scripture teaches in its instruction on prayer. And maybe that explains the lack of spiritual power that is generally found in the Church of Jesus Christ in our day. That just may account for some of it, at any rate. I'd like to look at this one prayer in Colossians chapter 1 and see what it was that the Apostle Paul considered so important. And if we begin praying about these kinds of things, then I think we are going to begin to experience a spiritual dynamic and a spiritual power in our lives and in our church that may be rare in this 20th century. The prayer is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Now, this prayer is constructed in a very interesting way. Technically, there's only one request in the prayer. It says in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's really the only request in the way the prayer is constructed. that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 describes the result of that request. To the end that, is the way it should be translated actually, to the end that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And the rest of the prayer explains what a walk pleasing to the Lord really is. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's a walk pleasing to the Lord. Now that's technically the way the prayer is constructed, but I'm not going to try to be technical tonight. God wants to see all these things being expressed in our lives, and He wants us to be praying about all these kinds of matters in our lives. So when you spell it all out and get right down to the bottom of it, there are actually five things that God wants us to put on our prayer list when we're praying for one another. These are things I want you to be praying for me, and these are the kinds of things that I need to be praying more for you. These five requests. Requests that could revolutionize our prayer lives and revolutionize our church if we really began to pray about these kinds of things. Five requests. The first is this, verse 9. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray that each of us will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, God's will is revealed first and foremost in His Word. When we have a clear and thorough knowledge of the Word, then we're going to know what God wants us to do in almost every situation in life. I mean, not everyone, but at least our knowledge of the Word will help to guide us in every situation of life. But notice how that knowledge is linked and coupled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see that? A knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom is knowing the basic principles of life, the best means to accomplish the highest goals, God's goals. It goes back to the Word. It's what God wants us to accomplish according to His Word. Understanding, spiritual understanding, is the ability to apply those basic principles to the situations of life. God wants us to know His Word, then He wants us to know how to put that Word into operation. How to apply it to the situations of life. He doesn't want our knowledge to be merely head knowledge. He wants us to know how to use that knowledge in everyday living. That's wisdom and spiritual understanding. He wants us to know how to use it to find guidance and to make decisions. He's given us His Word. He wants us to read it and study it. Then He wants us to use it to guide our lives. And we need to be praying for each other in that regard. You may be filled with the knowledge of His will, as it's revealed in the Word, but as it applies to the situations in everyday living, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what I need. You can put that on your prayer list for me, if you would. And I might imagine that you would like to have it too. It would be great for me to be able to find the solution to all my problems. I'd love to do that. You know, it'd be nice if I could get rid of all my aches and pains and have everybody treat me nice and everything go smoothly for me. That would be wonderful. But don't bother praying for those things. Really, I mean that. It might be nice if I could have that, but that's not what God wants me to have, I'm confident. Those are not the things that are going to do me the most good in the long term. What I need more than that is to know how God wants me to live. What God wants me to do in every situation I face in life. What will bring glory to Him? What will honor His name and exalt and magnify Him? When you pray about your own needs, you can pray about those physical and material things. You can pray for that raise that you'd like to have. There's nothing wrong with asking God to give that raise to you if that's His will. As long as your prayer is conditioned upon His will and submissive to His will, it's an attitude of submissiveness in prayer. But I'll tell you, a far more profitable prayer might be, Lord, I want to face this tight money situation in a way that honors You. I want to do what pleases You in this situation. I want to handle it exactly as You want me to handle it. I want to trust You through this. In fact, I want this tight money situation to increase my trust in You, to cause my faith to grow stronger. Lord, I want to be a good steward of what You have given me. I want to use what You have entrusted to me wisely for Your glory, So show me exactly how to use every bit that you have committed to my trust. That would be a far better prayer to pray than, God, give me that raise. Because that kind of prayer is going to cause us to grow in the Lord Jesus. It's going to help build spiritual giants. Pray that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the first thing to put on our prayer lists. A knowledge of God's will. Look at the second in verse 10. A walk that pleases Him. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. A walk worthy of the Lord means a walk equal to His. The word worthy means equal to. Equal to the Lord Jesus. Paul's talking about Christ-likeness here when he says a walk worthy of the Lord. Christ-likeness. The measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. The goal and aim of every believer's life. That end toward which we are to be growing. Let's be praying that we may walk worthy of the Lord. Because that's the kind of life that pleases God in every way. God is pleased with His Son. So He's pleased with us when we grow in the likeness of His Son. Last March, just about 5 weeks ago, I was speaking at Dallas Seminary at their annual Spring Bible Conference, and I was giving some of the messages on Christlikeness that I shared with you last year. And when I finished one of the messages, I came back and I sat down on the platform next to Dr. Campbell, the new president of the school, and he leaned over to me and he said, Dr. Chafer used to say, and I perked up because I entered Dallas Seminary in 1954, 2 years after Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer had died. And Dr. Chafer was a great man of God. I'd never met him. I'd never heard him speak. But his memory was so fresh when we arrived on campus 2 years after his death that almost every professor would say over and over again in his classes, I bet I heard it without exaggeration 100 times in my years of training at Dallas Seminary. Dr. Chafer used to say, and we would perk up because we knew the impact that that man of God had on their lives. And so when last March, when Dr. Campbell leaned over and said, Dr. Chafer used to say, I straightened up and I listened very carefully. Dr. Chafer used to say that God was so delighted with His Son that He purposed to make many more just like Him. That's kind of neat, isn't it? God is so delighted in His Son that He purposed to make many more just like Him. He wants you and me to be just like Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. And when you do, your life is going to please God. It's going to please Him in every way. That's something we ought to be praying for each other. This is what I'm praying for you, Paul says. That you'll have this kind of a walk. It's okay to pray about physical things. You know, I've had this sore shoulder for about a year now. You know, I'd be happy to get rid of that. Be nice if that would stop hurting. But I'll tell you, something that will do me a whole lot more good, and the whole body of Christ a great deal more good, would be for you to pray that I will grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I'll get rid of my sore shoulder. That would be far more important to the well-being of the whole body and of me personally as well. That I will reflect more of His selfless love and His self-sacrificing spirit and His tenderness and His gentleness and His kindness and His self-control. Those are the kinds of things that will make my life more effective for Jesus Christ and bring greater blessing to the body. Pray that my life will please Him fully because it will be like Him. You know, we're so prone to please ourselves. It's this inborn characteristic of our old sinful nature. We want to do our thing. We want to do it our way. We're right. We're going to win. You're wrong. Listen to me. And that's often what brings us into conflict with other people. It's why we have so much conflict in our homes, in our marriages, in our churches. Because we're so insistent on doing what we want to do. Pleasing ourselves. Maybe if we would pray for each other, that we would all want to please the Lord more fully, we would begin to see a new spiritual power in our midst that we have not experienced. Let's pray for each other. Not only that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, but that we will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That's a great request. You can put it on your prayer list. If you pray for me, I'd be happy for you to pray for that. And as we pray for each other, let's pray about these things that really count. A knowledge of God's will, a walk that pleases Him. Look at the third request in the second half of verse 10. A life of increasing fruitfulness. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now that verse might better be translated, being fruitful and increasing in every good work. The two participles seem to go together. Being fruitful and increasing in every good work. And the word in can be translated by, and I think it should here. By the knowledge of God. Being fruitful and increasing in every good work by the knowledge of God. Fruitfulness. Fruit-bearing in the New Testament usually refers to our character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. But in this passage, fruitfulness refers to our works. You see that? Being fruitful and increasing in every good work, not just character, not just traits, personality traits, but in our works as well. Here's a good thing to be praying for each other. That we would be allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in us more fully every day, motivating and enabling us to serve one another more effectively and more willingly, to minister to one another's needs more readily. We need to be praying for each other. We'll be concerned about one another's needs and be looking out for one another. That's what good works usually are in the Scripture, ministering to one another, helping one another in our times of need. So I need to be praying that God will make me more aware of your needs and willing to look out for your best interests even before my own. That's something I need to be praying for myself. That I would be fruitful and increase in every good work. And I would... We could reach out really and pray for each other that way too. I need to be praying for myself. You need to be praying for yourself. But then we need to all be praying for each other. Generally in the whole body. Lord, make us all more sensitive to the hurts and the pains and the needs and the problems of others in the body. More willing to reach out and give of ourselves to help relieve those hurts. God, give us that kind of a love and burden and concern for other people. That isn't a very common prayer, I don't think. I think we might pray, Lord, help those people to realize how much I'm hurting and minister to my needs. That would be a pretty common prayer. Most of us would be ready to do that. At a moment's notice. Lord, I pray that those people will get burdened about my need. And I guess that's okay. I mean, you can pray that. We all have needs. God sees fit to minister to our needs through other people. But what we need to really be praying is that all of us in the body will be more fruitful and increase more in every good work. All of us will be more sensitive to one another and ministering to each other. Now, how are we going to do that? It's right there in verse 10, by the knowledge of God. That's how we're going to do it. Being fruitful and increasing in every good work by the knowledge of God. The better we get to know God, the more we grasp the reality of His love and His concern for us, the more we're going to be willing to reach out and minister to the needs of other people. That's the way it works. The better we get to know God, the more we minister to each other. Now there's something to pray about. That we shall apply ourselves to getting to know God more intimately. That may do more to generate genuine revival in the Church of Jesus Christ than any other single thing. As all of us get to know the Lord more intimately. It's great to pray that Grandma will find her hearing aid, you know, or Johnny will get better grades in school. It's okay. But the thing that's going to make us triumphant Christians is a deepening knowledge of God. Let's be praying that each of us will get to know God better. So that we will be fruitful and increase in every good work as we minister to one another in the things of Christ. That's going to make us love each other, you see, and care for each other more as we get to know God better. And that's going to, in turn, cause us to have a greater impact on the world around us. So let's pray as Moses did, that I may know Thee, O God, that I may know You. Well, here we go. A knowledge of God's will, a walk that pleases Him, a life of increasing fruitfulness. These are the kinds of things we really ought to be praying for. A life of increasing fruitfulness. Fourth, verse 11, a strength for patience and long-suffering. Strengthen with all might, Paul writes, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now everybody wants strength. I pray for strength all the time. You probably do too. Lord, give me strength to handle these problems. Lord, give me strength to face this trial. Lord, give me strength to put up with these unreasonable people. Lord, give me strength to do this job. Lord, give me strength to get through this day. Lord, give me strength. Have you prayed that? I have. There's nothing wrong with praying that. That's good. We need to be laying hold of the Lord for his strength to do what God has committed to us to do, rather than trying to drum up the power to handle the circumstances of life and the strength of our own flesh. We need to be praying for his strength for everything. There's something even better. And that's praying to be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power to do something very specific in this passage. You see it? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for what? For all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. God's power to develop in us two specific Christian traits. Have you ever prayed for that? God, give me strength to develop patience and long-suffering. Now, we've talked about those two words before. Patience has to do with people. Long-suffering has to do, it's the other way around. Patience has to do with circumstances. Long-suffering has to do with people. Patience, circumstances, long-suffering, people. Patience is the grace to bear up under every hardship and trial without giving in to discouragement and despair. It's that sense of keeping on by relying upon God's power, not bowing to the circumstances and going under. Long-suffering is the grace to accept impossible people without irritation or exasperation or anger or resentment or retaliation. And neither one of these is a stoical, grit and bear it kind of martyr complex. Both of them are to be exercised, Paul says, with joyfulness, with a very positive attitude. And that takes real strength and real power. And you know that as well as I do. To be able to keep on when the circumstances are pressing down on us and we don't know where to turn next. And to do it with joyfulness. And to be able to reach out in love and forgiveness to impossible people that just won't get off our case. That takes God's kind of strength, more than we have available to ourselves through our own innate flesh. See, that's something we can be praying for ourselves and for each other. God, give me strength to keep on keeping on with joy in spite of this problem. God, give me strength to show this person, this obnoxious person. Don't say that out loud. You can pray that quietly. Don't say it out loud. But you know, in your heart, you go, God, give me strength to reach out in love to this obnoxious person with kindness. That's a good thing to pray for. Strength for patience and long-suffering. My mom, as you know, is in the fourth year of a stroke that left her left side unusable. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying that she would regain the use of her left side if that be the thing that brings greatest glory to God and pleases him. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, from this passage of Scripture, I mean, if the prayers of the New Testament are intended to be any kind of an example or model for us, then the thing I ought to be praying for more than God heal her left side so she can use it again is, God, give her the strength to endure her condition with joyfulness. That's what Paul was praying for right here. Because that's the thing in the final analysis that will probably bring greatest glory to God. As if in the throes of that, the pain she experiences and the unpleasantness she endures, she expresses the joy of Jesus Christ, that's going to bring great glory to God. It's a good thing to pray for. Let's put it on our prayer list as we pray for each other. A strength for patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Okay, there's a knowledge of God's will. There's a walk that pleases him and a life of increasing fruitfulness and a strength in trials. There's one more thing that I want to share with you, and it's in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. A thankful spirit. Paul is praying that the Colossians will have a thankful spirit. That they will give thanks to the Father. A life that pleases God is a life of continual thanksgiving. And that's something we can pray for ourselves and for others. Because you see, critical, complaining Christians are like a bucket of cold water on glowing embers. They snuff out the fire of God's Spirit and dampen the fervent of the testimony of a local church. They don't do God's work any good at all. God wants us to have a thankful spirit. And Paul mentions the importance of thanksgiving over and over in his letters. It appears consistently in almost every letter he wrote. But that doesn't make it any easier to do. The fact that he talks about so much probably reinforces the fact that it's difficult, and we need that encouragement and reminder in order to be thankful in every situation. It's still easier to ask God to change that irritable person or take him out of our life than it is to thank God for him and for his good traits, isn't it? It is for me. You know, it's still easier to ask God to remove the trial than it is to thank him for the trial, because it gives me an opportunity to grow strong and to stretch my faith, to trust him more, and to be a testimony to the people around me. It's far easier to say, God, take this away, than it is, thank you, Lord, for this trial. But that's what the Scripture teaches us to do. It's tough to be thankful. That's why we need to do what Paul did and pray for one another in this regard. I want you to pray for me that God will enable me to have a thankful spirit through every situation of life, happy or unhappy, pleasant or unpleasant. That's what I want, because that's what God wants for me, and that's what Paul was praying for the Colossians, and we can pray that for each other, that we'll have a thankful spirit. And if we can't find anything else to be thankful for at the moment, Paul suggests something here. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank God that he's a Father who has qualified us to share in his eternal inheritance. Heaven, in other words. And all that goes with it. Let's thank God for what we have to look forward to as redeemed people. Well, you can pray for Aunt Annie's ingrown toenail to be healed if you want. That's okay. If that's what would bring most glory to God. But, you know, there's something even better to pray for Aunt Annie. And that is that she'll see herself as one of God's redeemed ones, with an eternal inheritance reserved in heaven. And that she'll be praising and thanking God for it and glorying in him in spite of the ingrown toenail, you see. That's what Paul was praying for. That they would be people who would be pleasing God all the time, and one thing that would please him would be giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in that inheritance with the saints in the light. That's the kind of praying that produces spiritually powerful Christians. We pray that for one another that we'll have a thankful spirit and glory in the great hope we have as believers, the great inheritance that is ours as saints who know God through his Son Jesus Christ, who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, a kingdom of light and life. You want to do some praying that really makes a difference? By eternity standards? You don't need to eliminate the physical and the material. They are valid requests. Jesus taught us that they were valid. But please add these five things to your prayer list, will you? A knowledge of God's will, a walk that pleases him, a life of increasing fruitfulness, a strength for patience and long-suffering, and a thankful spirit. That's the kind of prayer life that's going to produce powerful Christians and spiritually dynamic churches. That's what you want to be, and that's what you want your church to be, is it not? Let's pray about these things. Father, this is what we want for our own lives. And we do commit ourselves to you in this regard right now. Help us to grow in a knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, I pray that we will be fruitful and increase in every good work, that our lives will please you in every way, that we will grow in our strength in order to express a patience and a long-suffering in the circumstances and with the people whom you allow to bring into to invade our lives. And then, Lord, that we will have a thankful spirit in every situation, glorying in our Father who has qualified us to be sharers in that great inheritance. Lord, I pray that we will grow together, that our walk with you will deepen, that our lives will bear radiant testimony to your grace and your power, moment by moment and day by day. And I pray that those around us will feel the impact of your love and your power. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.